Okay. Can you hear me on Parakal Pei? The idea behind this parak is going to be that the destruction is final. In other words, it's over already, and this is the final warning that is sold. Hashem reviews lo yakim ben Yoshia. This word was given to Yirmiyah. Right, about the entire people, the nation of Yehuda, in the fourth year of Yoyakim, the son of Yoshe, the king of Yehuda. This is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar was made king of Babel. Okay, that's the idea. Rashi tells us this is the last nevuah that he had before the sealing, right, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, of the decision to put Bnei Yisrael into Gullus in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. It's a big question of whether or not this is the third year or the fourth year of Yoyakim's reign when Nebuchadnezzar got put in charge. The Radak says that the siege of Yerushalayim began in the third year of Yoyakim's reign, while the fourth year was the year that they surrendered. Others say there's a question about what happened exactly, right?
Yoyakim's reign was the siege began, so the siege was for 7 years?
It was all together, right, exactly. There were 7 years altogether. He rebelled in the seventh year, right? It wasn't until the 11th year, or it could be that he was even subdued for, you know, a couple years. By the way, it's the 11th year, that's when Nebuchadnezzar succeeded in finally taking over the city. Yeah,
so the Radak said year four?
He brought up the question, because in Daniel it says that it was in the third year, while our pasuk says it was in the fourth year.
Yeah, the Radak said it was in the fourth year.
Well, we have from the pasuk, the Shana Revius, that's right. For sure, right? It just brings down that machlokas. Asher dir be Yirmiyahu hanavi al kol am Yehuda al kol Yerushalayim leimor. Yirmiyahu hanavi spoke to the people of Yehuda and to the people who sat in Yerushalayim and said the following. From the 13th year of Yoshia, the son of Amon, the king of Yehuda, Vadiyam is until today. It's been 23 years that I've gotten the word of God. Remember, he started when he was young. He's around the age of 35, 36, 37 at this time, right? He started young, and he had it for the last 23 years he's been a Navi. I've spoken to you early morning and every evening, and nonetheless, right, you have not listened to me during that time. You should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you all of his servants, the prophets. He sent them early morning, and at night as well. You did not listen, nor did you turn your ear in order to hear. According to what Yirmiyahu was saying, right, the Medrash says that they went, literally, there was a Navi that I got up twice a day, every day. Not the same Navi necessarily, but it was a Nevuah given to Bnei Yisrael every day, twice a day, that they have to do
Tshuva. Yeah, it sounds like he's referring himself like the guy who's on a street corner who is a little bit off.
But it couldn't be, right, because we know that Yirmiyahu was a son of Kofi. Right, but it can't be.
Some of the great people have a son a little bit.
Plus, remember, a Nevuah cannot be the same thing over and over.
No, but it's the same message, the same idea, the same
thing. Maybe he's talking about a different thing. But either way, regardless, remember, Chukio did accept him. They did accept him for quite a while. Lamor Shubana Ish Midarko Ara, saying, right, that, you know, do tshuva each from their evil ways. Mirama Lakam from all their evil plans and whatever it is. Ushvu Allah Doman, you can return back to the land of Shanashamakam that God has given to you, Allah Sekhum, you know, that He's given to your fathers from the past up until the future. Al Tailfu Akare Limakam, do not go after the other gods. La Abdullah Shakwaslam to serve them and to Raudan to Lo Sakhiso, saying, don't make me mad. The Maisi Dekam with all of the idols of your hands will Ara Lachem, and therefore I will not do any evil to you. But nonetheless, you did not listen to me, no Mashiach. Therefore, you have made me angry, you have provoked me, so to speak, with your evil deeds, you know, the works of your hands, so that it will be evil to you. Because you didn't listen to my word and you kept worshipping those idols. Therefore, I'm going to send and take for you all the families of the north, and I'm also going to send to the king of Babel, my servant, I'm going to bring them into this land, and all the people who live there, and all the nations all around, I will destroy them. And I think that's not only the Jews, but even the nations that were surrounding them on all sides. I'm going to break. I'm going to make them into an eternal ruin, which is going to be a shock to everybody, and it's going to be destruction that's going to seem like it's going to last forever. That was a theme. Yirmiyah has said this three times already. I'm going to destroy from you the voice of any Sussan and Simcha, the Chassan, the Kala, Kolwe, Chaim, or Ner, right? There will be no grinding mills, there will be no candle that will be shown. This entire land will therefore be destroyed and will be, you know, whatever it is, completely destroyed, you know, Lashama, completely destroyed. For 70 years, they will serve the king of Babel. There we have the Nebuah altogether of 70 years. I don't know if everything over here. Over here, the Miamloi says that there's four senses that are represented over here. The sound of rejoicing, you know, the idea of the kol sasama kol simcha is going to be the sound of this, the sense of hearing. Kol kasama kol kala is going to be the sense of touch. The sound of the reichayim is the sense of smell, and oraner is the sense of sight. That all of those senses are all going to be, you know, which you I guess derive enjoyment out of them. They're all going to be gone, or people won't have any of this whatsoever. Anyway, that's that.
Says a kodesh is a bris milah, and oraner is just a part of simanushta.
That's that. Just to have a party or whatever it is. Vayikim los shivim shana, when the 70 years are up, epkod al melech babel v'alagoya hunum Hashem. As Avona, I'm going to remember on the king of Babel and on that nation, all of their sins, val eretz kasdim, and on the land of the Chazdians, the Chaldeans as well. Samti also l'shma mosolam, and that will destroy them forever. Now notice this, by the way. That did not say that they're going to come up after 70 years. They're going to go back there. It's still in 70 years. Rather, what it says over here is that in 70 years, the king of Babel will be destroyed. Now that did happen without a question. 45 years in Buchanetz. 23 years of Evel Merodach, right there you have 68, 2 years of Belshazzar, that's 70. At that time, Belshazzar, we know, was the third year of his kingdom. That's when everything was destroyed and the Paras and Modai took over. So in 70 years, I am going to destroy the nation of Babel. That mamish happened in 70 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, from this Nebuah, which was obviously the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign over Babel. So that does make sense. 70 years from now, they'll be destroyed. But then it says, Vayedesiel Arzei is called Varai Shuri Barzileh. Then I'm going to bring upon this land everything that I spoke about. It's called Kozub Sefer, everything that was spoken about that were written in the Sefer, Shaniba Yirmiyahu Kolagoyim, that the Yirmiyah has prophesied against all of the nations. Not only the fall of Babel, but also the fall of the nations around them. For many nations and many kings he will enslave, as well as great kings. I'm going to give them back according to what they deserve, and according to what their deeds are. And he was not afraid, Yirmiyah, to say this out to the nations around him, especially Babel, especially considering Nebuchadnezzar was sieging the city at the time. This is what God said to me. Take this wine, this cup of fury wine, I'd like to have some fury wine, drink it in front of all the nations that I'm going to send to you. Okay, so it is interesting over here, he has to bring it upon. The four cups that he refers to over here, he refers to a couple over here. The first one is mentioned over here. The second one is going to be in Perek Nun Aleph. The third one is in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Hay, and the fourth one is in Tehillim, Perek Yud Aleph. That's what the Medrash says. Those are the four cups of wine that are mentioned over here. There are four cups that are good for the Jews. Obviously, the four cups of Luxazi, Salzaburat, Vilakasi. Pasit Zayin, Mishasu, they will drink from those cups. Vishkawashu, they will stagger. Vishalalu, and they will be crazed. They know some because of the war that's going to be. That's going to be sent to them. And the idea is that they are going to be fated. Those nations that are fated to be destroyed are going to be made drunk and insensate before they die and insensate. In other words, they won't figure out what's going on before they die. I took the cup from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I gave it over to the nations which God had sent me. Okay, now one shot is that literally Yirmiyah fearlessly went from nation to nation telling them they're going to be destroyed. Can I speak to the king of Moab? Hi, you're going to be destroyed in 7 years. Can I speak to the king of Ammon? Hi, you'll be destroyed within 7 years. Going to each one of them, one by one by one, telling them what's going to happen to them. The Radak, though, says that he never left the land of Israel, that he performed this with the means of a prophetic vision, that he appeared in front of the Malachim, but not really appeared. It was a Nevuah that was given over to them, so to speak, but not a Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a Nevuah of him himself, as if he appeared to them in their dreams. That's what he told them.
Like the story with Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great?
Yeah, something like that. You know, obviously Paro and Abimelech would be the examples, but they were visited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Something like that. It's Yerushalayim Vesor Yehuda Vesmelacha Vesorel Vesisam Lekorba. Specifically Yerushalayim, the cities of Yehuda, the kings and all of their officers are going to be given over to be destroyed. L'shamba L'shreikav L'kol K'yom Azeh, they're going to be cursed. It's going to be desolation. All these different things over here. And it's going to be like that. All these servants, you know, the people that are served, they're also going to be destroyed. It's Paramel Mitzvah. Yeah, what's up?
Is it a consolation for us that all these other nations are destroyed?
I don't think so. You don't feel better when everybody is destroyed.
What's the point?
They deserve it. It wasn't necessarily for us. It's because
they should have never been there. They deserved it many years ago. Why do they deserve it now more than...
It's a good call. Maybe the Jews actually had a schus to keep them alive. Listen, I don't know all this. You can't...
That they deserve to necessarily be destroyed. Maybe they had some redeeming qualities for...
Well, now they didn't. No, they didn't. So David is saying... So all the things... This is a shocker that like all this happened at once. You know, like the Egyptians and the Ammonim and the Moabim and the Jews all happened to just at that moment. I think... Listen, we know that within... anyone. You can't have a world just by yourself. You need people to trade with. You need people to, you know, to be able to do your imports, exports, things like that. If you don't have anything in your land for whatever reason, at least you can import from another land. If all the lands around them have been destroyed, right? Sometimes people survive because these people need them to survive.
Right,
I'm alive because somebody else needs me.
Right.
That, maybe that's the idea behind it.
Destroyed and that every single person is going to get killed. It was just Nebuchadnezzar was going to conquer all the land in the region.
And many people would die.
Oh, yeah, but the people will not necessarily be killed, but they will be assimilated into.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But the Nebu doesn't read like that. It doesn't read. It's
the nations
be assimilation.
Will be destroyed. No, the nations will be destroyed, but the people will be assimilated into other nations. There will be no longer be an Ammon because all the people who came from Ammon will now.
Well,
be,
you know what? No, but David's right. It does say that I'm going to make it into, you know, Lachorba, Lashama, Lishreka, Lakloa. You know, that was specifically referring to Yerushalayim. You'd assume that applies to all the next couple psukim from Parak, you know, Pasuk Yud Tes Tachav Vav, where all the other nations. Let's look at these nations. Paro Melech Mitzrayim Vetavod Vesar Vesko Amo. We're talking about Egypt. Vesko Erev, all the Arabian lands. Vesko Malch Eretz Utz, all the lands of Utz, that's by Aram. Vesko Malch Eretz Plishim, all the kings of the land of the Plishim, that's Ashkelon, that's Azav, that's Ekron, that's Sherith Ashdod, and all the lands of Ashdod. There's a city that's missing here.
No.
This is Gath. That's the one that's missing. Right, so Gath is missing. We'll get to that. As Edom is Moab, as Kol Bnei Amon. As Kol Malchit Tzor, the kings of Tzor, that's Tyre, you know, Lebanon. As Kol Malchit Sidon, right, that's also near Lebanon. I forgot what that's called exactly. As Malchia E, all the kings of the islands of the Ebrayam, that's on the other side of the sea, in the west of the sea. As Dudon, as Tamav, as Buz, as Kolk, Tusepea. All the edges that are right over there, I, you know, honestly, I don't know where these places are.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah.
Yes, Cyprus. And there are other islands in the Mediterranean.
Greece,
yeah, whatever it is. But those areas right around that. Komachi Arab, all the kings of all those Arabian nations over there. Right, we did say Arabs. Well, is this different from Koha Arab up above? Look at Pasuk Chaf. Arab, this is Arab. Arab is definitely Arabia. It's Komachi Arab. Ashokanim and Mipo and all. Maybe those are just Arabs. Maybe they're Bedouin Arabs that lived in the desert like all of those people. It's Komachi Zimri, it's Komachi Elam, all the kings of Zimri. I don't know where those are. The kings of Elam is Komachi Modai. As well as Maldai. It's Kol Malchiyat Safon. All the kings of the north are Krov Marachokim, close and far. Isha Lachiv Eskom, Melchosa Oretz, Ashropani Adomo, Melech Sheshach, Yishach, and the king Sheshach, the king of Babel, will drink after them, as a side note, okay? In the Da Vinci Code, right? Dan Brown wrote it. I remember somebody saying that he did a lot of research in order to write the book. I remember that there were three massive mistakes. When I read the book, I didn't realize what kind of a book it was. I read the book years and years and years ago. I remember there were three mistakes. One of them was this. He said, there is in Jeremiah 25, it says the word Sheshach, and no one knew that Sheshach meant Babel until the Bible codes came about, and the Bible codes told them that Shin Chaf in Atbash, you know, taking the letters, becomes Babel, Bez Lamed. Could you look right there by Sheshach, by Rashi for me, somewhere around there? It's right here. What is
looking
it?
Looking
at the Arab and the Arab. No, I think it's here. So unless Rashi lived in the times of the Bible codes, right, we knew this about 1,000 years before the Bible codes came about. I just remember it specifically saying, now that we have the Bible codes, we can finally figure out what it was. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm pretty sure it's Rashi. And I looked it up and I'm like, I'm right. I was very happy.
And Pasuk Chaf, Arab, everybody's
Sumchavusa, Lashner Buvia, like a big mixture.
Write a letter to Dan Brown.
What?
Write a letter to Dan Brown.
I didn't want to, because he also got the whole service of the base of Mikdash a little bit mixed up. Yeah, but what the point Gubble did with Arias, that was absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Wait, what did he say about that?
I don't remember. It was something that had to do with Arias, but he wrote about what the Kohen Gubble. No, it had to do with the base of Parva. When the Kohen Gubble would separate to the base of Parva, he says in there, he kind of mixed up the Gemara. You know, a Yuma Beis Manal, they'd give him a second wife, just in case, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He understood the second wife to be somewhat of his illness. And then he had her for the 7 days, but more, like in the Beis Hamikdash, she was sleeping with her, and that was part of the service. It was like part of the whole, whatever it is. Like, we know that, but that was the other, that was the second thing, and I can't remember what the third thing is, but you know what? I'm not going to read it again to go ahead and...
I wonder what the source was for that.
I don't know. I kind of thought that he... Alright, anyway. Regardless, that was the king of Sheshach was going to drink out after another. The reason why Gats is not listed over here, in that period, there was no Plishti settlement in that part of the city. They had already been destroyed earlier. So that's that. All these are going to be, you know, nations that were living around the nation that were around there. All of them were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. What's up?
So then it goes back to the point. What's the question? What's the point?
to the point of
destroying, quote unquote, all of the.
I would assume they were all still living because of Bnei Yisrael in one way or another. And once Bnei Yisrael had to be destroyed, right now these nations no longer deserve. Maybe they were supposed to be destroyed 50 years ago, 60 years or 70 years ago, right? But the Jews didn't deserve to beat them. And they were staying alive because the Jews needed them economically. And now, once the Jews are gone, there's no need. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that literally each one of them, at their time, they were destroyed. It doesn't have to mean that Nebuchadnezzar did it all at once. Each one of them, when their time came, then Nebuchadnezzar destroyed them. But he went in an order, not in a military order, but rather in the order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in. Maybe he went, you know, in different places beforehand. I don't know. That I don't know. But these were the major nations that existed at the time. There were still people in Europe, there were still people in Northern Africa, as well as Middle Africa, as well as in Eastern Asia. But nonetheless, these were the major areas that were around. You'd assume there were still people in America as well, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense there would be. Yeah. So, you're going to tell them, so this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Shu v'shichru, drink, become drunk. Ukiu, then throw up. Then niflu, I want you to fall down. Below sekuma, and not get up again. Because of the sword that I'm going to send against you. That's the idea of the nations going to vomit, get rid of all the evil from them. If they refuse to take the cup from your hand, this is what Yirmiyah said. Lishtos, and they won't drink from them. Hashem says you must drink. You have no willingness. You have no ability to be able to get out of this. You will succumb to the Babylonians. Now, because I'll understand, you know, that there's no such thing as tshuva from the other nations. Now, we do see that by, what's it called, by Nineveh, right, there was an ability for them to don sackcloth and to push it off. But they say on that Nineveh later on was destroyed. It had the ability to push off, but not to totally take away. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say over here. I don't know. But the non-Jews are not sure what the status is.
They don't believe in him anyway.
Well, yeah. Some people might.
He's
giving them the opportunity to sign them the Nebuah.
You got to remember, we are talking generally, not specifically. I will tell you, though, that if you're going to give a Nebuah by the other nations, it works a little bit different from the Jews. If we get a Nebuah, right, and we tell over the Nebuah, we say over something, and we don't follow through, so to speak. In other words, you know, bad things happen, or you know, whatever. Maybe we do tshuva and good things happen. Whatever. It's not, the nevuah doesn't come true. The bad nevuah doesn't come true. We understand it as, okay, bad nevuahs don't have to come true. We're okay with that, you know? But when non-Jews hear it, they hear a nevuah like that, they go crazy. You just told me that I'm going to be destroyed. And now I'm not destroyed. So you're a liar, or your God is a liar. So the other nations, you can't do such a thing.
Yeah, but once you tell them you're going to get destroyed, what would they rather have? Not get destroyed?
Obviously,
God's credibility is always what's important.
Yeah,
it's always,
and that is an important thing of Kiddush Hashem.
There's nothing you can get out of it.
So that's the point. I think it was more for the nations of Israel, you know, for the Bnei Yisrael to see more than anybody else that Yirmiyah was willing to do this. Listen, by Nineveh itself, it said that Nineveh is going to have a mapecha, which we understand to be overturning of the city. But it turns out that it was mapecha that they were going to be totally switched around into tshuva. That the wording of total annihilation, destruction, was not used by them. Exactly. Over here, it seems that there's no way around it. Because look, the city that I called my name upon, I'm starting to do evil to about them. Do you think you're going to be unpunished? You will not be unpunished. I'm going to bring the sword upon all the people of the land, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If Yerushalayim falls, you better believe it's going to happen to you as well. That's all. Go and prophesy all these words to them. Hashem will call out loud, will roar from the heavens, own country, you think hello. Right? From the abode of his holiness, he will give out his voice. Sha'og Yishag on the Ve'i will surely roar on his holy abode. Heydad Kedork and Yanel Kol Yishay Aretz. He is going to go ahead, he will cheer as they do those that step on the grapes against all the different inhabitants of the earth. Now we all know that this pasuk, Sha'og Yishag, Sha'og, etc., this is where we learn that there are three Ashmuros in the Lila. This is where Brachos, Daf Gimel, Darshans, that there are three watches in the middle of the night, and that if by each watch Hashem roars like a lion, he goes in and roars like a lion. That's going to happen over here, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel says in each one he roars like a lion, and it says, and he calls out loud and he says, "Woe to my sons that I had to leave, you know, Yerushalayim for it." And that's really based on this. We say that there are three different watches. One was based on the donkey braying. The second one was the dog barking. Third one was the baby speaking to nursing, and the mother talking to the husband. We say this referring to three different things: the weariness of the work that a person does during the day, or from the daily labor, in other words, the quality that they had beforehand, and the dogs was something that's tameh, tumah, that's when the septum rules, etc., because we all know that dogs are evil. And the third one is the baby, right? It's okay. And then the third one is the baby. It's the only one that's not saying it's not here. Go ahead and say that.
Where's the source for dogs are evil?
It's all over the place. Mostly, Calvin Chatzis, and he said, Naskinu Sudasa and Shalashidus.
Is there like something that's, you know, from like Gemara or something like that?
No, I don't think so. I can look at my notes. Blina, I'll try to check right afterward. And there might be like one thing. They're known as Azin and Rosh Hashanah Chafei, but I don't think there's anything that specifically says that dogs are evil. No, it's all from the Zohar. Everything's from the Zohar. Because they call it Kalvin Chatzis. That's what they call it. Kalvin Chatzis. Anyway, but the baby.
That's the Zohar?
Yeah. You know what? Let me look it up very quickly. But the baby, right? The baby is supposed to refer to the eventual Geula and what ends up happening and everything like that, right? And he says like this. He says literally, it's crazy. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu sees a sports arena, a circus, and the halls of amusement erected by the nations, and then observes the basement just lying in ruins, he wishes to destroy the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking, and that's the roaring that he does over here. Regardless, it stands for something of when we're supposed to die.
What referring to, though, the sports arenas that were Avodah Zarah was worshipped, like the top?
You have to assume, right. I mean, that's what they do at every Cubs game. Yeah,
but the Cubs game is just not
a little bit different. No, it's definitely not working. How am I, you know? Avodah Zarah doesn't work. But Joan Ad could say, alright, the roar has reached the ends of the world. He replashed up again because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was contending with all the nations. Nishbud l'chol basar, he's judging against all flesh. Harshayim nasnat nistanu l'cherem yom Hashem. All those wicked are going to be given over to the sword, says God. Kol Hashem tzvakosin yirad yotiz migoy ogoy. This evil will go forth from one nation to the other. V'sar gadol ye'or mi'arkze arz. And the great storm is going to be stirred up from the ends of the land. It's going to show that Hashem is in charge. V'yuhalei Hashem b'yomahu. The slain of Hashem will be on that day. Mi'arkze arz from one end of the world to the other. Lo yisaptu lo yasvu. They will not be eulogized. They will not be gathered in, they will not be buried. With Domino Payadomi, you, they'll all be sitting on the ground. That's how bad it's going to be in the future. Helilu Aroim, Vizaku, the shepherds are going to cry, they're going to call out these Baalashu, Adiri Atzon, the masters of the sheep. They're going to, I don't know what you want to say, like wallow in the dust. Kimolu Yamechem Lizvoach, because the time for punishment has come to be slaughtered, it's supposed to see them and to be dispersed. Right, you're going to fall as a precious vessel. That's how bad it's going to be for everybody. The shepherds are going to see no way to escape. Who plays him as your atzone, the greatest of the tzone? They're going to find no way to flee. Kol tzoeika sa'akas aroim, the shouting of the shepherds, vilulas adir atzone, the wails of the chiefs of the sheep. Kishod Hashem is marisam. Hashem is going to plunder all of their pastures and everything they have. Vena damu na'usa shalom mimechar na Hashem, and all those peaceful pastures, all those places are going to be silenced because of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's going to be. All that because years ago, God has forsaken his lair like a lion. Because the arts of Lashama, because the land has become so desolate, because the anger of the dove, because the anger of the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah is going to leave an angel altogether. Let me just check up the dog thing really quickly. The pasuk. There is one that's bad. That's over there. They barked at a pregnant lady and she lost her baby. That's in Shabbos 6:4a. Killing rabid dogs. Poorest animal won't bark. It sees the malcham of it, but that's whatever. Lashon hara gets you thrown to the dogs. They hate each other. They eat their own throw up. That's not good. Brazen. That's bezuch a family biz. Yeah, eats all the leftovers. Yeah, the face of the generation is like the face of a dog. That's supposed to be bad. Talks about a kelebra over there. It represents the non-Jews that one slept with, right, in this world, in Olam Haba. That's in a Sota Gimel of Bez and Avodah Zarah Heyamad Aleph. Can dig anywhere. That's when death comes into the city.
Raising a pig.
Yeah, Bava Kama. You're cursed for raising dogs.
Wait, why is he cursed for raising dogs?
I mean, the same thing.
Is there a difference between raising dogs and having a herd of them?
There's nothing specific that says that they're evil. Nothing specific. Right? It's just, it happens to be, like, they're known as, like, these animals that are like that. Okay, that is that. Let's go into Parakov Vav over here. This is in the beginning of the kingdom of Yoyakim. So this is 4 years earlier. 4 years earlier over here, right? This is when the word came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one of the harsher prophecies over here. I want you to stand in the chutzpah of the base of Mikdash. I want you to speak to the cities of Yehuda that are coming to bow down to the base of Mikdash. Everything I'm about to speak to you, do not omit anything. Okay, this is going to be great. Their mamash is going to try to kill him here. It's going to be good stuff. It's going to be fun. Maybe they'll listen. Each man will do true from their evil ways. And then I'll forget about the evil that I wanted to do them. They may rob my land because of all their evil.
Hashem is telling him maybe they will listen. He doesn't know whether they will listen or not.
That's an interesting call. Yeah, but we've spoken about that before. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be, but that still doesn't give them the chance to be able to do true.
It wasn't necessarily out of the story showing him.
Could be. So listen to the words of my servants, the Nevi'im, right, that I sent to you daily, whatever it is, and you haven't listened to them at all. But it's not to the Baizekishu. I'm going to make this space make this like Shiluv as the Ira Zos, at Tim Lakwal. I'll make this city like a curse, Lakhol Goyards, for all the land, the nations of the land. Now, nobody had ever heard the Beis Hamikdash being compared to Shiloh before. That was considered, you know, like, what? The Beis Hamikdash is nothing like Shiloh. That's number one. Number two, Shiloh was destroyed. For someone to say that, the first person to get up and say, this is what's going to happen, or that they had heard, sounded to them like, again, somebody was saying something so terrible. The Kohanim, the Nevi'im, and all the people, they heard Yirmiyah speak all these words in the Beis Hashem, in the Beis Hamikdash itself. When Yirmiyah stopped speaking all the words that Hashem had commanded him to speak to the people. He's this also a Kohanim and Nevi'im, a Kolam, Lamor, Mos, Samus. The Kohanim and Nevi'im grabbed him, and all the people grabbed him, and they said, you know what? You deserve to die. We're going to kill you right now. That's what's going to be over here. Now, Targum Yonasan says that the prophets over here are not Nevi'im. They were Safra. That's how Yonasan puts them over here. They were Safra. They were sages who sat in the base of Mikdash himself. Right? They did write books, and they did whatever it was, but they were not actual Nevi'im. They weren't anything like that. That's what he says, Nevi'a Shaker. So that's according to Targum Yonasan. Look what Yonasan says. Where does Targum say over here? What do you got? Well, Pasuk is this Pasuk Pes. So we got Safraya. Right. So that makes sense. Safraya. So they weren't real Nevi'im, he says. They were just book writers, whatever it is. The fact that this is the first time that Yirmiyah did not say his Nevu'ah in front of kings and officers. When the kings and officers heard it and didn't kill Yirmiyah, then the people didn't feel the need to kill Yirmiyah. But right now it's being said in front of all the people. And when they heard that, they said, all right, we got to kill him. That's what they understood, yeah.
On what grounds does he deserve to be killed? He's getting a Nevu'ah from God. It's not like he's being blasphemous.
They think he's a false prophet?
No, but he's proven himself.
No, but yeah, you're right. There's no question. This is only 19 years after he started prophesying.
Either way, either he's telling the truth and people should repent, or he's a deranged guy. So, like, why would you kill him? He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he's been proving himself for 19 years.
Kill him. You know what I'm saying? You can think he would say it's blasphemous,
but do we know that he's doing it for 19 years?
Remember, he just prophesied in the fourth year of Yoyakim, and he said, I have prophesied for 23 years. That was in the fourth year of Yoyakim. This is 4 years earlier. That's 19 years.
Makes no sense that they're going to say most Tammuz now.
Yeah, well, look at the next pasuk. The pasuk says, Maduani Beis Hamikdash, why are you prophesying in the name of God, Lamor, Kishilu Yabaizet, that this Beis Hamikdash is going to be like Shiloh, that Yerot Zosekharab, and that city is going to be destroyed, may no shade without anybody living there. They all crowded around him in the Beis Hamikdash. They couldn't understand it. What are you saying such terrible things for? The officer of Yehuda heard these words. They went from the king's palace to the Beis Hamikdash. They sat by the gate of Hashem, the new one. That is amazing. I don't know how long this took, but the people didn't kill him for all that time. Meaning, it took a while, I would assume, for the officers to hear about it and then go down to the Beis Hamikdash. Mitzvahs. Granted, the palace was right by the base of Mitzvahs, but that had to have taken a little bit of time. Nonetheless, they didn't kill him. The Kohanim and the Nevi'im said to the officers, to all the people, saying, he does deserve to die. Right? He is prophesied against the city, which you guys have definitely heard with your old ears, with your own ears over here. Right? But nonetheless, they didn't do anything. They were just shocked. They were shocked by it. Right? He deserves to die, they told him, right? So Yirmiyahu said to the officers and the people, saying, Hashem shloch anu nabi al bayis zeh. God has sent me to prophesy about this house. Now, Erezos in this city, this cold name, Hashem shloch anu, everything that you have just heard. I don't care what kind of excitement you have, anything, whatever it is, it's not going to change it. God, the only thing that's going to work is doing better. Malaykum, all of your plans. Hashem shloch anu, listen to the voice of God. Then he's going to forget about the evil that he wanted to do. Listen, I'm in your hands. Do whatever is good and what is right in your eyes. But you should know, if you kill, you are spilling innocent blood, right, for yourselves and for the city and for all the people that live in it. Because it is true, God has sent me to you to speak out all these words. I am not joking over here. It's just going to further arouse God's anger against you. Disarming all the people, said to the Quran and the Nevi'im, you know what? Fine. This guy is not going to get that mishpat of death. It does seem to be, right, the word of God. Now there comes a debate. The elders got up from the land, and they said to the Kalam, saying the following. Micha Hamorashti. Remember Micha? He used to prophesy in the days of Chizkio. It was about 30 years ago. I do not believe so, but I don't remember. It was a bit of a kasha about who Micha was. And he said to the people of Yehuda, saying, that the Tzion will be a field that is plowed. Yerushalayim will be a desolate city. And the Harabayis will be made into a forest filled with bamos. So that's what Micha said before. Do you guys remember that? Micha said that before.
Tell me. Does anybody actually remember this, or was it from over and over?
I think they must have known. Yeah, remembered of some sort. But no, nobody would have been alive. How Mesa Misu Chizkio Mel of Yuda. Did Chizkio, the king of Yuda, who was living a great life and things were only good in his time, did he kill him? The whole Yuda and all of Yuda. How are you, Hashem? He feared God. And God forgot about the evil that he wanted to do them. And if we do this, if we kill, we're going to do a great evil to ourselves. There was another man who prophesied the name of God. His name was Uriyo ben Shmayo. His name was Uriyo. Mikiras Yaharim. He came from Neveh. And he prophesied about this city. The same way that Yirmiyahu prophesied.
This is the first time. Is this the first time in the whole book we hear somebody who's kind of
picking up,
or like picking up for him? Like, wait a second, maybe he's saying something.
Yeah, 100%. The king Yoyakim and all of his strong men, they all heard the words. Still, nonetheless, the king wanted to kill him because it still sounded terrible. This is part of the story. When Yoyakim heard what Uriah had done, Uriah heard about it, and he was afraid, and he ran away, and he went to Mitzrayim. So Yoyakim sent men over to Mitzrayim, as Elnasan ben Achbor, Elnasan the son of a rat, right, and people with him. Mitzrayim down to Mitzrayim to go see, but Yosu is Uriah, Mitzrayim, Yehu, Elamel, Yoyakim, Be'akiyu, Be'kar, they hit him with the sword, Be'yashos, Negvasto, Kibir, Be'ayam, and then they sent his corpse to the cover of the people of his, you know, the common people that are around there. So listen, Micha, nothing bad happened because of Chizkio. Uriah was killed, right? Uriah was absolutely killed. So the question is, what are we going to do over here? What are we going to do here to Yirmiyahu, right? What should we do exactly? Achyad Achikam ben Shaphan Hoises Yirmiyahu. However, Achikam, the son of Shaphan, he was mentioned in Malachim Beis toward the end. He was the one who was sent by Yehoshio together with Chizkio, right, to Huldah in order to ask for mercy for Bnei Yisrael. So that's who this guy is. This guy is not just a nobody. He was a good person. Ben Shaphan, he was the son of a hyrax. He was somewhat taller. He didn't have split hooves, but he had chewed his gut. Right?
he knew he was with the Yirmiyahu, the built his to be out on Lami, so he would not put him in the hands of the people to kill him. So even though the king wanted it, nonetheless, that did not happen. Now, we don't know if this nevuah was before the last one, or if it's right now, we don't know. But in the beginning of the kingdom of Yoyakim and Yoshia, right, the king of Judah, this word came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem saying the following. Now, this is a really crazy nevuah. This is what God said to Eli. This is what God said to me. I say, look almost Theros, make for yourself like big ropes, umotos, and poles. I want you to put it on your neck. In other words, they had a big yoke, the Jews had a big yoke, and they threw off the yoke from on them. So Yirmiyahu is putting it on top of himself. Want to hear crazy stuff? For 11 years, Yirmiyahu wore yokes around his neck. Took these ropes and these poles and he left it around his neck for 11 years. Sounds crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. But that's what he did during the whole reign of Yoyakim. Send it over. Send these poles over to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of Ammon, Al-Malak Sor, the king of Tyre, Al-Malak Sidon, the king of Sidon, Al-Malak Abayim, Yerushalayim, Al-Sitkiyom, Al-Huda. Right? And these are messages to come to Yerushalayim to Sitkiyo. And again, this is going to be, this prophecy happened later on, 11 years later, after Yoyakim had already been exiled, and now Sitkiyo was the one in charge. You shall direct them towards their master, saying the following. This is what you say to your masters. I made the land, I made man, I made animals, and sharpened arrows all over the ground. With my great strength, my outstretched arm, and I gave it over to whoever is good in my eyes. And now I have given over these lands to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And I even gave him the wild animals of the field to serve him. And all the nations served him. They're going to serve him. They're going to serve his son. They're going to serve his grandson, Belshazzar. That's it. Notice that. Adbo Esar, so until the time of his land has come, they will serve him many great nations, many great kings. Any nation or kingdom that is not served. Notice it switched over to Nebuchadnezzar over here all of a sudden. Can't get it, Melababel. And if you don't put your neck in the yoke of Melababel, like I have, I've got the yoke on. If you guys refuse to do it, I'm going to give you sword, I'm going to give you hunger, I'm going to give you plague, some of the other ones, until I destroy them completely. So even though I prophesied that last time that everybody's going to be destroyed, if you go under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, you can still be
now
saved.
That prophecy happened later, happened before the beginning of
no, this one is by Sitkiyo. Right? That's what we just said. In Pasuk Beis. Right. It's going to be at the end of Sitkiyo. That's when it was going to be over here.
Wait, why is it Reishit Memlacha?
Pasuk Gimel. Look at Pasuk Gimel. The very end of the Pasuk. That's what it says.
I'm just going to switch gear. I understand.
Pasuk Gimel. In other words, I don't know exactly what happened, honestly.
God started
the first time he had
10 years later?
I would assume the poles were put on it by Yoyakim. And then 11 years later, he's told to send the poles to the other nations.
Poles for 11
years, we said. Yeah. That's him. It says, Al Tishmul Nevi'ekim. Don't listen to your prophets, Velkos Mechim, to your magicians, Velkalam Mosekim, and your dream guys, Velkalam Mosekim, your guys who read the horoscopes, Velkashmechim, your magicians. Hashem, Omer Lechim, Lemor, Los Tavdos, Melabubu. We're telling you not to serve the king of Babel. Ki Shekari Nidim. They're telling you lies. Velkalam Laman, Harkik has come out in order to kick you out of your land. Yidakhi Hassan, Babadatim. You'll be kicked out of your land, you'll be lost. But if you put your neck in the yoke of the king of Babel, and you serve him, so I will leave him in the land of Hashem. Right, you will serve everybody there, and you will live in it for a very long time. That was the idea behind it. Apparently, there was a spiritual reason for their submission to the king of Babel, which we don't understand. I spoke to Sitkia the king of Judah. I spoke to him. All these words, Lamor saying, if you put your neck under the yoke of the king of Babel, right, then you will serve him. Then 100% you will live. Why should you die? You and your people in sword and famine and in plague. Like Hashem said about any nation that does not serve Babel. Do not listen to the prophets that are saying to you, Lamor. do with Melech Bavel, you should not serve the king of Bavel. It's all lies. I did not send them, says God. They're prophesying my name for a lie. It's in order to fool you. Right? And you will be lost. As well as those prophets that are prophesying for you, they'll all be lost. Speak to all the priests and the people, saying, call our Shem. Don't listen to those prophets. That the Caleb and the base of Mitzvah are going to be returned from Babel. It's going to be so soon. They're speaking out lies. Remember, this Caleb were taken from the base of Mitzvah already before Tzitzia. During Golus Yoyakim, they lost many of the Caleb of the base of Mitzvah. They were already gone. Many of the prophets are getting up and saying, it's coming back this year. It's coming back right now. That's what they were saying. It says Yirmiyah, do not listen. It's not true. They'll be returned later, but not now.
A lot of them were returned anyway.
Well, some of the Caleb were. That's what Darius II gave over to Nehemiah through Babel. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babel if you and you'll live. But why do you have to destroy the city? If they are Nevi'im, and God's word is with them, let them dominate now to Hashem, the built people, Akilim, and Osam, and Hashem, Bezalel, Yudah, Yerushalayim, Babel, to not allow the rest of the Kilim, and Bezalel, and the house of the King Yudah, and Yerushalayim to go to Babel. All the pillars, the Yam, that's the huge area where they kept all their water, and all the machinery, and all the rest of the Kilim, and Osam, Yerushalayim, those that shall low the company, when he exiled Yechaniah, and Yoyakim, Melchud of Yerushalayim, Babel, and Kofar Yehud of Yerushalayim, and all the nobles of Yehud and Yerushalayim. Wait, that's why it was Yechaniah? I didn't know it was by Yechaniah. I thought it was by Yoyakim that it happened. I guess it makes no difference because Yechaniah was only king for 3 months. Right? So essentially it happened during Yoyakim's reign. But either way, all the kingdom that are left in the base of Melchud of Yerushalayim, Babel, it will be brought to Babel. Shama ye you on Yom Pop Yosam. It should stay there until I remember them. I bring them up and I return them to this place. Rav Yehuda would not allow anyone to move back to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. He said it was usher because it said, Shama ye you ad yom poktiyosam. You have to be there until I remember you. No. It was wrong. According to Rav Yehuda, it was wrong. Rav Yehuda held it was wrong. Rav Zera would not see his face before he left because he knew that Rav Yehuda was going to kill him for going to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But it's three different Gemaras, actually. I have it right here.
Ketubah.
Oh, because the Eretz Yisrael Gemaras.
I have it. I accept it at the laptop. Rav Yehuda. Where's right here? That's Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda. It's right here. Yeah, it's Brachos Chav Dalet Amud Beis and Brachos Mem Aleph. You know what's funny? It says in Brachos Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, they loved Eretz Yisrael more than anybody else. It's about Rav Yehuda.
It's a nice thing to say. I don't believe it.
Boy, I mean, the Gemara says it. Yeah,
they're just covering up for days.
No, they're not covering up. Not covering up, that's for sure. It's
but
crazy. It's all over the
purpose to build the base.
Maybe they're perfect.
If you can go back, according to Rav Yehuda, that would be the direction of the process.
Until you remember. Yeah, I mean, I was there because remember, Rav Yehuda's way after that.
Not much after that.
Yeah, it was four times. Those four times is it. I don't know.
Did you go to Kofiud Gimel or whatever?
Kofiud. Of a base. That's there. By the way, so that's the pasuk. This is the pasuk that they quote for that you're not allowed to go back. All right, here we go. By the way, pasuk shot in the pasuk. We're talking about the Caleb. We're not talking about the people. But the Caleb aren't going to be brought up until I remember them. But that's the obvious part. We're not talking about the people. Nonetheless, it's reviewed.
Is there actually a prophecy for the Caleb coming back, or is it like you're referencing
a
new Caleb? Of Caleb being brought to
the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says a little bit, but I don't remember exactly what it says about what Darius II gave them. But he does say that he gave them gold and silver and whatever it was.
was. There was stuff that was sent back. How much was sent back, I don't know. My pasuk, there is a machlokas where the Aron Kodesh was Gunuz, by the way. One opinion is that the Aron Kodesh was Gunuz in Babel. That is an opinion. The kasha is if Yoshua was Gunuz in Eretz Yisrael, or if he was Gunuz everything else, but not the Aron Kodesh because they needed it for the Avoda. And the Aron Kodesh remained where it was.
Exactly.
So because it was needed for the Avoda, right, they kept it there, and then eventually it was brought up. But it's a three-way machlokas.
He moved the Aron and he put away. Doesn't say that in the process.
No, it says something similar. I don't remember the actual thing, but it is a three-way machlokas in the Gemara. If the Aron was Gunuz the bubble, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe Yoshua was Gunuz it, but it came out. Because remember, it says when Nebuchadnezzar came in, all the treasures that were hidden popped out in front of Nebuchadnezzar. So the kasha is whether or not the Aron Kodesh came out with it. I don't remember what it is, but the Gemara says one opinion is that it was Gunuz and bubble. That it happened in bubble. The beginning of the kingdom of Tripia, the king of Judah, in the fourth year. It can't be the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, we just said it wasn't. The fourth year must be in the fourth year of something else. The fourth year of the Shemitah cycle. That's what it says over here. Okay, anyway. The Chodesh Chamishi in the fifth month, that's Av, right? At the end of the Shemitah cycle.
No.
We always say Kodesh, always. Rishon Lechadoshim. Kodesh is Elakam, Rishon Lechadoshim. We always go from Nisan. Always. Yes, 100%. Whatever you do months, it's always from Nisan. Right? We always do that. Kodesh Kamish is Av. Amrei like Hananya ben Azur, a Navi. Hananya ben Azur, the Navi. Hashem in Gibon, he lived in Gibon, the base of Hashem, the base of Mitzvah, Shalani Akwanim, in front of the Kwanim, and Kolam Lamor. Kolam Hashem Tzvakos. I look at Yisrael. This is what God says with Hananya's prophecy. Lamor. Shabbat is Omel Bubble. I broke it. The yoke of the king of Bubble. The Oshna signed Yamim in another 2 days, and he made sure the Lamakon was out as cold clay based Hashem. I'm going to return to this place, the Kalim of the base of Mikdash, the Lamakon, the Nebuchadnezzar, the Bubble, the Lamakon was out, and the Nebuchadnezzar would take him, and he became Bubble, and he brought the Bubble. That's Yechonia, and Yoyakim, and Yudav, as cold girls, Yudav, Boyim, Bavelo, and Yechonia, the son of Yoyakim, the king of Yudav, and all the girls, Yudav, Boyim, Bavelo, and the ones of Bubble, and he made sure the Lamakon was out, Hashem. I'm bringing back to this place, says God, the Ashbor's old Mel Bubble. I have broken the yoke of the king of Bubble. Now this is crazy. Yeah, what's
that? Doc says it's the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign.
Yeah.
And the reason it says at the beginning,
why is
because Baal Seder Olam explained that it was really the fourth year, but he went to greet Nebuchadnezzar in Babel, and when he came back, that it was already his fourth year of his reign or something. He came back to reassume his kingship, so it was kind of like the beginning, but it was actually the beginning of round two. So he was,
that's interesting. Okay, that's where we're
at. By the way, in some ways, it's sort of the first year of his reign, but it's also...
Okay, I hear that. But either way, regardless, this is what happened. So he said, he told them that it was going to be 2 days or 2 years remained until everything was going to be brought back. Why did he think that way? Hananya was a prophet at one point. He was a true prophet. Unfortunately, he now interpreted and miscalculated the 70-year domination of Babel completely wrong. He thought that 70 years started from when the Babylonians first came to Chizkiyahu 68 years earlier. And because they came to Chizkiyahu 68 years earlier...
Assyrians.
I'm sorry?
The Assyrians.
The Babylonians. No, that was the whole reason why they were given into the hands of the Babylonians. It was Babel. The Babylonians came to him.
Assyrians, and he gave him the...
Yeah, Bladen, whatever the name was.
He gave
the king of Babel. He gave them food, and he showed them all the treasuries, and his wife was serving them, etc. So 68 years earlier where Babel started, right? Because it started 68 years earlier, there's 2 years left.
Is this the first written down in this false calculation of the...
Oh, yeah, for sure. It is the first miscalculation. Right, and Akhir Perish, but they were both wrong, but for different reasons. They over here, Yanavi, O Kanan Yanavi, Lane Akwan, Lane Kol, Amom, Nimis, Shem. He did it publicly in front of everybody. But Yomer Yirmiyah HaNavi, Amen. Kenei Asa Hashem, Amen. I hope that happens. Right? Because I'll say this. You should do for anybody that says good things, but he was punished for saying it because it sounds like he was agreeing with the Nebuah. May God establish to Baraka your words, Shani Beisa, that you have prophesied. L'ashu Kolei Beis Hashem, Kolei Golim, Babel, Amakom, Azeh. To take the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and all the Golos from Babel to this place. What he should have done immediately basically said, Hanan, you're a liar. That's what he should have said.
Wait, maybe,
but he didn't do that.
Maybe he could have said, by saying amen, is he's saying, I hope your bracha comes true, but perhaps the problem is he said, I shouldn't debate it, that you prophesied, meaning that he thinks, what you're saying to Hashem was really his own
calculation. Okay, I hear that. Listen to the word that I'm going to speak in your ears. I was going to call all the Nevi'im, and in the ears of all the Nevi'im over here, Shayu Lefanai, they were in front of me, Lefanecha, in front of you, Mina Ola, and we're always there. They prophesied about many lands, about Mamachos Gedolos, and about great kingdoms, and they'll come on the roll of other, about war, and about evil, and about pestilence. This is true about any Nevi'im. So you hear me, it's like, let me tell you Yisrael. I want to tell you, Yisrael, this Yisrael is so true, it's true everywhere. Let me tell you something right now. And Navi Asher, Navi with Shalom, the Bozvar and Navi, Yivoda Navi Asher Shalom Hashem Amen. If the prophesy, the prophecy that the guy says, which is for good, if it happens, then you know that God actually sent it. A good nebuah must come true. That's that.
But can a good nebuah be delayed?
No. If the nebuah says 2 years from now, it's got to be 2 years from now. A good nebuah has to happen. If it's 2 years, nebuah has to happen in 2 years. A bad nebuah, however, does not have to happen because it can always be changed. So what Yirmiyahu was saying is, you're prophesying for good. If it doesn't happen, you're a Navi Sheker and you have to die. Meanwhile, if I prophesy that it's bad and it doesn't happen, I'm still a good Navi. I'm not lying because it can change for good. So you should know, Hananya, that you're going to be wrong. Now, Hananiah the prophet took the pole that was on the neck of Yirmiyahu Navi and he broke it. 11 years he had that pole on his neck and he broke it off. I have broken the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon.
Well, this really sounds like it's an actual, not an interpretation of prophecy, but rather a thought process.
Why?
Because Hashem didn't say that I will break the
No, but Hanani is saying, I heard it.
But we know that he did it.
Well, yeah, but we know.
No, right, that's my point.
Yeah.
So because the previous one was being interpreted as an interpretation and not a prophecy, maybe that was a...
No, what are you talking about? It's for sure a prophecy. He prophesied. Kol Mar Hashem is what he said.
In the beginning of...
Yeah, Kol Mar Hashem Tzvakos, it's Pasuk Gimel.
Oh, so he was giving credence to his statement by calculating...
Saying, yeah, that's what he was doing. And then he said, Boshan Hashem Yom Yal Tzavar Kol Goyim, Ve'il Yom Yom Navi Ludarko. So Yirmiyahu walked away. Yirmiyahu walked away. So that's that. Okay, so we said like that. After that happened, after Hananiah broke the yoke off of Yirmiyahu, so he told Yirmiyahu the following. Hello, Falato Hananiah Lemor. I want you to go back to Hananiah and say the following. Kol Hashem, Motos Eitz Shavarta. You broke a pole made of wood. Motos Marzo. You know what? Instead, you're going to place an olive barzo, an iron yoke. It's going to get even worse. He called Hashem to the key. So old bars and a sack of tabar kol agoyim ha'ila. I'm going to make a yoke of iron against the necks of all the nations. Labos nuchanes malbol so that they'll serve nuchanes to the king of Babel Vadu, and they will serve him. The God of Christ said in Asatil, I've even given him the wild animals of the field. The Amiriyo and Devil Hananiah Navi Shmano Hananiah Moshe Chachashem. Listen, Hananiah, God has not sent you. That's why you tapped those almas El Shaker. You have assured the people in falsehood. But then call Hashem in the name of Shalei Chacham Yalpanei Adama. Says God, I sent you away from this land. And this year, you will die. You have spoken wrong words about Hashem. Perhaps, even he was convinced that the Nebuah of Hananiah was true. Maybe he understood it as true as well. Maybe he really thought that way. And so Hashem told him otherwise. And that's why he walked away. He said, okay, that's what it is. But Yirmiyahu did have a problem. When a Navi receives a Nebuah, all other Nevi'im get a mini form of that Nebuah. They don't get the exact Nebuah, but he get a mini form of it. They see something like that. Yirmiyahu never received a prophecy like that. And therefore, he had his doubts about Hananiah. Now, he was not just assuaged of his doubts in his fears. It was 100% true. He saw that it was 100% true over here. And that's why he told Hananiah, you're going to die. But Yomas Hananiah Hanavi Bashanai Bakur Shashi. Hananiah Hanavi died in that year in the seventh month. Okay, now listen to this very quickly. I mean, it is the fifth month, right? So 2 months later, he ended up dying, right? Now, Chazal say, wait a second, the seventh month is not necessarily this year. It's really the next. next year, because I'll say Hananiah died on Erev Rosh Hashanah and told his children to die, to bury him after the holiday, after Rosh Hashanah, not on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but after Rosh Hashanah, and to keep his death a secret so nobody would know. So when he died on Rosh Hashanah in the new year, right, everybody would say, oh, Yirmiyah's prophecy was wrong.
Hashanah, that means this meeting was in the next 12 months. That's how I would have
been. Nonetheless, Kikatos, right, by Paro and the astrologers, they did anything to prove that it being wrong. Now, you should know, there's a lot more to what Hananiah did. When Hananiah was on his deathbed, he called his son Shalamya, and he told him, find a way to take revenge on Yirmiyah. I'm dying as a result of his curse. Shmaya tried to do so, but failed. Then he called his son Yiriyah. Yiriyah was the person that he called, and it says, go find a way to take your grandfather's revenge on Yirmiyah. Apparently, this is Shalamya's son, Yiriyah. Yeah, we're going to see him later on. He's going to come. Right? It might be Yiriyah. Yeah, might be. Anyway, Yiriyah was a gatekeeper at one of the gates of Yerushalayim. Saw Yirmiyah passing through on his way home to Anasos. As he saw him going through, he said, he seized him and said, you're going to the Kastin. You're in cahoots with all the Babylonians. And he passed on word of his disloyalty to the king's nobles, saying, this is what I saw him do. I saw him sneaking away to go to the Kastin. That's what I saw him do. They gave him a beating when they heard of that treason, and they put him in jail by Yonasan the Soper. We'll talk about Yonasan the Soper a little bit longer, right? Then they took Yirmiyah and they threw him into a pit in the courtyard outside of the Beis HaMikdash, leaving him there to die. And that's how Yirmiyah ended up screaming from the pit. We'll see what happens later on, but that was Yiri who put it in, the grandson of Hananiah, who ended up being killed over here. That's that. Okay, there's another thing over here. Oh, that's the reason why. The reason why Yirmiyah said that you're going to die is because Hananiah told over Zebu and Yirmiyah said you're wrong. To which Hananiah said, you have a sign that you're correct. And he said, my sign is you'll die within the year. That was his sign. Within the year, it was supposed to be before Tishrei. How long is Haptas? I don't think we're going to be able to do this right now. No, it's too long. All right, I don't think we should start for right now. Should we start?
4 minutes.
No, I don't think it's worth it. Okay, we'll stop with this right over here.